If you want people to promote you and to like what you're about and to spread the word, then do the same for somebody else in Islam. And you might just change their trajectory by connecting them with the right person or mentioning their name in the room that their name wouldn't have been mentioned.
And more often than not, people are willing to help. We've said it over and over on the podcast that people are willing to go the extra mile because people are by nature like that. We want to help other people. It's part of who we are.
We're all going to have a time of need one day, and we're going to want people to help us or reach out to us and help us get out of our own way. So if we can make that difference in somebody else's life, they're going to remember that. They're going to remember, yes, man, I'm so grateful for Rudolph.
Before we start this podcast, I've got one little favor to ask you. Can you please hit the subscribe button down below so we can help more people every single week? Thank you.
Welcome to the Right Place podcast. My name is John Watson, and today I'm joined by Rudolph Rautenbach. Today we're going to be talking about how you can help your friends or connections when their business is going through a dip, a speed bump, or you starting to get worried about where they're going to end up in life. Rudolph, great to chat to you today.
Thank you, John. Nice to be with you again. Nice to also have a bit of a role in our recordings again.
Excellent. Yeah, looking forward to the discussion today. So what we wanted to start with is actually look at five situations where you are getting worried about your friend, your connection, or a key business relationship. And these five situations, there's probably multiple situations out there where you can start to get a bit worried. But we want to just go through five situations. And then we want to look at five key remedies that you can maybe do or activate within your network or through your connections to help your friend in need. Because we really believe that sometimes your friends, your connections are not necessarily going to ask for help. So you need to sometimes intervene or you need to get something going just to get them out of the slump that they're in. The first one is the lost client spiral. So your friend's biggest client just pulled out, the contract came to an end. And now they're in panic mode. They've been relying on this client for maybe 80% of their revenue or 60% of their revenue or their projects. And now things are down, their confidence is shot, and they're questioning everything. In a situation like this, you can imagine what your friend is going through and what it might do to their confidence. And yeah, that's the first one that you might want to intervene and help them out. Have you got one?
I think one other one is where you... We have this idea and we call it the no one gets what I do fog. And it happens to me often that I explain things, but I go into so much detail that you actually don't get to the point of what you're trying to achieve and what you're trying to say. So you always miss the bigger picture. And I think it's more of a marketing element saying exactly what you do in a way that other people can understand. But we sometimes battle to get ourselves in that mode of explaining things in a practical level. And I'm reminded quickly of Chris Fenning when he was here last year with us and using methods to explain things in language that other people understand. But sometimes we overcomplicate things for ourselves. And personally, I can attest to that where I've got this great idea or I'm working on something, but I cannot transfer that information effectively to someone else because I'm in it. And I think it's important for us to explain it in a different way or to communicate it in a way that other people can understand. But that no one gets what I do scenario is quite relevant these days.
No, I agree with you. I think if people don't understand what they do, they're never going to be able to connect you because they don't know what box you are. They don't know what box you're in. So they don't know, are you a CA? Are you in business development? Are you a scientist? Are you in IT? People want to put you in the box because then they can understand what you're doing. The next one, number three, is the quiet quitting founder. Now, quiet quitting has been written about quite extensively over the last couple of years, and it's definitely a big challenge out there more in the workplace. But there are also founders that are quite quitting. Their energy's gone, they show up, but you can see they emotionally checked out. They are burnt out, they don't know where to turn to, that they thought they had this great idea going, and now they're just barely keeping it together, then not telling telling anyone how close they are to giving up. They are maybe frustrated, and they're kind of a shell of their former self. And that can be a big challenge when you've got this person in your network and you just assume everything's going right. But meanwhile, this guy is not sleeping right. He's not visible. He's not out and about, because quietly they're quitting. They're almost giving up on their idea, and that can be a massive challenge.
It's a very tough place to be in. And I think it's also more relevant and topical than we sometimes expect it to be. So it's a very important one to maybe unpack a bit more later on. Yeah, next one is the big pivot paralysis. And I must be honest, I'm also guilty of that, where I get bored and I just move to this next big thing that I enjoy more than what I'm busy with. But it's also when you know that your current model is not working. What you are busy with is not effective, is not working out. The new ideas, things that you want to go into, is either risky or it's very overwhelming, and you can't really bed it down. And then you're stuck between what you're currently busy with and what is the next thing that you need to pivot towards. So it's almost like you need to make that big change, but you're too scared, and that's the paralysis, too scared to take that leap or to move forward with that idea.
Yeah, very true. And I think a lot of people get stuck in that. They either have too many ideas, or they're chasing shiny objects, or they want to be doing five different things at the same time. And then you almost end up not doing any of them good. Number five, in terms of the situations you might find, is the hiding in the shadows operator. So this is someone, they've stopped showing up at events, they ghosted on LinkedIn. You only hear from them when you reach out. And these silent signals are telling you that something's not okay. So the person is, they used to be bubbly, you used to be seeing them all over the place, but now something's gone wrong, or they're in a slump, or they've got issues at home. And this is probably sometimes the easiest one to spot, although it might take some time to spot. When someone just isn't being their normal self. So they're keeping things ticking over, but they're just not showing up. And this might be a warning sign for you to say, hey, man, what's going on here? And I think that's what we're going to talk about next, which is these remedies that we can do to start doing ourselves, or ask others to help us, to help our friends in our network. And I think this is all born out of, I think, maybe the mantra of the lack of network, which is, how can I help? And oftentimes people are too scared to ask for help. But if you don't ask for help, you're almost blocking off certain solutions and people in your network that really want to help you and really care about doing the right thing. Obviously, there's, I think, a fine line between throwing all of your problems on somebody and expecting them to sort it out for you. You've got to also always take some level of responsibility. But I think you've got a responsibility to yourself to ask for help. But if I see someone in my network is not going through a good time, or I heard somebody say something about this person, I've also got a responsibility, I feel, to reach out, to just check in with them, to see what's going on. And I think one of the best things that you can do if someone is going through a slump, they're not their normal selves, is try and assist them with a high relevance introduction. So try and get them to meet someone that can really maybe pull them up or open new doors of opportunities. So we're not just going to send a random introduction. We're going to connect them with someone who's maybe one step ahead in that exact challenge. So you in a slump, you're going through some scaling problems or some growth problems. Why not introduce that friend of yours to a good connection who's maybe a couple of steps ahead, who's gone through this slump, who was also in the slump. And maybe that one, that person who survived a similar dip, can give them some advice, be a shoulder to cry on, and maybe mentor them a little bit. What do you think of that one, Rudolf?
Yeah, very good, John. I think it's always good to get people out of their daily routine and normal things that they are busy with, because that's the bit of a rat race in the slum that they are in. So that fresh introduction, someone that they can relate to, potentially a client or a supplier, or just someone that they can bounce ideas off, someone who's been through that process maybe in the past, or whichever connection you can figure out that would assist in some shape or form, might just pull them out of what they're busy with currently and what they're facing into a bit of a different direction. So it might not be the solution to all their problems, but it will at least distract them and guide them into a different direction, or just to clear up their mind a bit. And I think that's very important. I also want to just touch on the how can I help you mantra. And I think there's a way of how can I help, which is something that you offer. But as you said, the more important part is to actually ask for help. We know when things are not fine. We know when it's emotionally not fine. And we also know when it's not fine in our work environment and our day-to-day stuff, that we can't figure things out, when it's technical or such. And we all have people in our lives, and more often than not, people are willing to help. We've said it over and over on the podcast that people are willing to go the extra mile, because people are by nature like that. We want to help other people. It's part of who we are. It's something that I think gives us some sense of belonging as well. So never be scared to ask. I think in especially the Afrikaans community, it's something that we very, very poor at, is to go out and ask people for help. It's like, no, I can do it myself. I think of AfriForum or Solidarity or one of these places where the mantra was on soul self. So we will do it ourselves. And I think that is typical. And unfortunately, not the right place to be at. I think there's power in the community and the outreach within that. Very, very important to connect people with someone that you can think can have an influence. And it doesn't have to be a client or a supplier, but it could be just someone that's been through that process, mentoring them or some sort of support. And I think that would make a big change in someone who's in a bit of a rat race or just a mull doing the same thing over and over. That's a very good point. An additional one maybe, John, is to host some sort of a support circle. Nowadays, the topical word is a mastermind. We just do a bit of an ideas dump, go through a discussion on how we can change things around. And I think very important to get people that are trusted into that little bit of a circle or that community to maybe host a breakfast or a quick lunch or just a quick discussion in terms of discussing typical topical points for that person. And yeah, maybe five or so people, not a big thing where there's a whole crowd and everyone wants to bombard you with information, but to listen through that conversation of what's going wrong, and maybe see how we can assist each other in growing out of it. I think that there's a lot of power in putting more than one mind together. And maybe from my own side, myself and Paul Janisch, through our business, we meet up once a week on a Tuesday morning. And we figured in the last month or three, when I was so busy, that if we miss those meetings, because I was busy or he was away on holiday as well, we tend to lose steam in the way that we operate. We actually don't get through the tasks that we need to do, because on a Tuesday morning, when we have our little bit of a breakfast and our check-in, we actually discuss new ideas. We also discuss where we were with old things that we had to do, and we keep each other accountable in that manner. And it's very informal. We talk half the time, we talk nonsense. But the fact that we actually see each other just embeds and puts a foundational aspect to what we want to achieve. And I think similar to that, this little bit of a support circle can assist someone to get to a point where he has other people to reference to, but also to bounce off ideas, and then to also check in with the person as a human, not just work stuff, but to give them a bit of a soft landing and a safe space to operate within, and see if that can't maybe take them forward.
No, I think this is a great one, because I really believe everyone should have a bit of a support circle. But there are people out there that are going it alone. They just haven't got the time, or they haven't invested in these connections or relationships. So if you see your buddies in a slump and you've got a bit of a support circle, you've got a regular meeting or a church meeting or a prayer meeting or a regular game of paddle or like a hike, like the Walgreens hike or the one that your Don is doing, invite that person there just to get out of the office, come meet some other people, come share your burdens, come share your war stories. And oftentimes I think people get stuck that, well, no one understands what I'm going through. No one understands the intricacies of my business. It's going to be a waste of time to talk to anybody. And that is just absolutely not true. A burden shared is a burden halved. And I think it's important that if you just have a conversation or just get into the habit of talking in these circles or these mastermind groups, I think you're going to end up just in a much better frame of mind to address the problems and come up with better solutions or to unpack what's going on and hear other people's thoughts on your problems. Because you think yours are incredibly unique, but the first person you talk to is going through the same stuff. They've also got staff issues, they've got growth issues, they've got scaling issues, they've got issues with their marketing or their advertising. So if you see a buddy going through a slump, invite him to your circle. You know, it might not be the right fit, but just that action of getting there, getting out of the office, getting out of the home environment and spending some time with some other people, I think can really, really help them in the long run. And it might just activate some new connections, some new relationships that can like pay off over the long term. Number three is an interesting one, talking about reframing your mindset, is to ask them certain questions about what's actually going on in their life. I had a great chat with Paddy McBain on the podcast recently, and he said great leaders ask great questions. And sometimes we just need to ask our buddies some really pertinent questions, not just the normal, hoe gaan het, what's going on, how's it going, fine, everything's not fine. So if the better questions we can ask them, maybe we can just help them reframe and refocus. And one of them is, where do you think your right place might be now? We've spoken at length on the pod about your right place being at the intersection of your roles, relationships, and environments. And maybe if you can just start talking about what that right place feels like with your friend, they can start to say, hey, man, I'm in the wrong role. Or this relationship is just draining me. Or this environment is hurting me. And that will just help them start reframing and refocusing. What are they actually spending their time on? Or where's their energy going? And just articulating that out loud with someone who listens well can maybe just open those mental blocks and just start another conversation. Hey, man, what am I actually busy with? What's actually going on here? Because like we said, you might be pivoting all over the place and not achieving anything. So if your right place is only focused on one of your businesses or one of your ventures or one of your projects, then hey, maybe we just need to refocus on that one.
And I think also it's important that those questions are direct, but also that they give the guy a little bit of comfort. I can see if I ask someone a question that they struggle to answer, that you almost hit a nerve, or that you know that that is more or less where the problem is. And then you can start asking questions that are that unpacks it for them. And I think it's also a way to lead someone to the answer, although I don't know the answer. I don't know what the answer is. I can ask questions for the other person to understand what it is that bothers him, what it is that is prohibiting him or preventing him from getting to the point where they need to be. And I think that is the way that we structure these type of questions. It's very important that the other person gets a level of comfort through that question, but also that they start thinking a little bit differently. And maybe they have all the answers. It's just that they don't articulate it. They don't put it out there. And sometimes if I hear myself talking about something, I realize, but that is it. That is what I was supposed to do. Or that's the way that it should have been. But I didn't think about it prior to the conversation because no one forced me into it. So I think that is a very good one in terms of getting us to think about something differently. We sometimes have to hear ourselves say it, and then we realize, yeah, that is it actually. So yeah, very, very good one, John. Yeah, one other one is to promote them. And that sounds so easy. It sounds so easy to say, listen, let's promote them. Sometimes people can't do it for themselves. They're almost unable to articulate it, or to, they're just so stuck in it that they can't, they don't know how to go about it. And, it could be so simple as to post something on LinkedIn, to comment, on LinkedIn saying, listen, my friend John can do X, Y, and Z for you. Or John, look at this or that. And, yeah, very simple ways of doing that. But also in real life, I always say that this online life is sometimes a little bit, out there, but it's a marketing tool. But also you, in real life, we can promote these guys. We can say, listen, I've met John and I want to introduce him to Rudolf. And I think you guys will hit it off either on a personal level, or there might be something in a business relationship, or whatever the case is. It might be a good mentor for the person, but promote the person into a position of network, improving their foundation in terms of networking, but also promote their work, their actual work. So there's the person as a human, but there's also the product or the work that they do. And I think both of that could be promoted very easily, just by talking about them and doing a quick introduction and so on. And I know, John, you're very good at that. You send me a DM now and then with a post in it that, an indirect thing, but I get interested in that and I start reading about this person. I follow them and they spark some ideas and I think it could be as easy as that. But also for me in real life, drag the guy along, drag him along to a networking session or to a meeting that you have with a group of other people. Get them into that circle where you think that the other people could influence him for the better as well. So just making that little bit of a difference in their day-to-day life then.
Yeah, 100%. I really like this one. And I think it's something where do unto others as you want them to do unto you. So if you want people to promote you and to like what you're about and to spread the word, then do the same for somebody else in the slum. And you might just change their trajectory by connecting them with the right person or mentioning their name in the room that their name wouldn't have been mentioned. And that can really activate so many conversations and connections and stuff like that. So I think we should be looking out for our friends, our buddies, the good people in our network, and not just looking out for our own interests, but looking out for others as well and saying, hey, man, Flip, you know, you must talk to my friend Rudolf or talk to Ben or talk to Hannes. Great guy. He can sort this problem out. And not just say, no, I don't know anyone, or that's not my line of work. Let's talk about me some more. I really believe that if we help each other, and I think we've seen it on the Lacquer Network as well, people talking about other people, saying, hey, man, I just had a great session with this person. If you're looking to do this or that in AI or IT or business, speak to them. You want people to do that for you as well. So I really believe that this is something that should almost be a habit for us, promoting other people, and especially guys going through a slump. You know this guy's struggling. See who you can connect him with. See how you can promote him. Give them a shout out, exactly like you said. Yeah, man, it's these small little moments, these small little things that add up over time. Now, number five is a Lacquer one, and it's similar to one we just discussed, but it's to offer like a walk and talk or a coffee with no agenda. So this guy, your buddy's going through a slump. Say, man, hey, let's go for a walk. Let's go play golf. Let's go play paddle. Let's go climb Lion's Head. Let's go climb Volvo Strait. Let's go and just get out of the office. And you don't have to say anything. You can just start the conversation, create the environment, and just kind of see where it goes. So you're not going to be coaching them. You're not going to be having these tough conversations. Just get them out of the office. And I really believe something like this, instead of saying, hey, man, good luck. That, I mean, anyone can say good luck, or as I say in Afrikaans, stack them at that. Okay, it's very thin. It's not, that's almost like the bare minimum, but also it doesn't add much value. Rather say, hey, man, let's go for coffee, or can I pick you up? Can I see you after work for a drink? If someone feels seen, and they feel safe and they can start a conversation with you, then I think they get out of their own way. They hear or think about some new options. And that will mean a lot to them down the line. Say, hey, man, yes, Rudolf, it was so lekker that we could have coffee. Thanks for offering your time. I learned a lot, or it really helped me just change my mindset a bit. And again, these small moments are amazing over your career. You need these little moments to just get out of your own way. And I think that's one of the big things, that if your buddy is not getting out of his own way, create the option, create the opportunity for them to do it.
Yeah, I like this one particularly. You know that I can talk a lot of nonsense, and thus that relaxed environment actually makes me understand the person better. So I would often take someone out of the office and just, we'll talk about nothing. We'll talk about things that are irrelevant to the work. A lot of times it's cricket. But I think it's important that you have those type of conversations to understand what the other person is about. I think it's a human connection thing. We want to be connected. We want to understand other people. We want to be associated to people that interest us. And you can't just get all of that just out of work. I think it's important that we have those discussions, where it's relaxed as well. It's never going to happen in a boardroom, but have that coffee. Luckily, I do like coffee. I know you don't drink a lot of it. So to take someone out for coffee is almost natural for me. But I think it's important that we deliberately go through that effort. And I think when someone else goes through something difficult, that little bit of a check-in has immense value. It shows that you are interested in the person, and that you're not just there to preach to them or to coach them or anything, but that you are genuinely interested in the human behind the scenes, behind this facade of the work and whatever else is going on, but just to catch up and to understand the person. And let's be honest, everyone won't be your friend. Everyone won't be a genuine friend, but it doesn't mean that we don't have to be human to them. I think that is the crux of it, is that we can show compassion to everyone. We don't have to just make friends with everyone, because there's a circle of trust that are my friends, the guys that I can deal with my deep personal things with. But there are people that I can have a chat to and mention specific things, but I will not go into my emotional damage and everything with everyone. It's just not what we do. But it doesn't mean that we can't show that compassion. We need to be human to someone else, offer advice, offer an ear. Sometimes it's just listening. It's not about preaching to them, telling to them how it should work or not work, but just listening. And I think a lot of times that is the big difference in someone else's life, irrespective of the work environment, but just being there for someone. Important to get that out of the workplace. I think the workplace has this, unwritten set of rules almost, and to get the person out of that, environment where the corporate ears are not around and they can relax. They sitting at a coffee table or in a, next to the cricket field or wherever it is, but just get them into a relaxed space and start chatting, understanding their life.
No, 100%, Rudolf. I think you've summed it up really, really well there. It's just being a friend, being a good connection to those around us and helping them in their time of need. Because we're all going to have a time of need one day, and we're going to want people to help us or reach out to us and help us get out of our own way. So if we can make that difference in somebody else's life, they're going to remember that. They're going to remember, yes, man, I'm so grateful for Rudolf. It was so lucky to see your Don. That really helped. And these key moments just being a useful person to have around and to help and looking out for each other's needs, I think it really, really pays off in the long run. I really hope that the listeners will be able to adopt some of these strategies and look out for each other a bit more, especially in like the five situations that we discussed. and just look out for those people in the network that you really care about or that you're walking a long journey with. I think it's really important. I think it's been a great discussion. I know that I can be better at this. We can always be better at this ourselves. We are not perfect here. We're not perfect networkers. So I've got some takeaways myself. Rudolf, been a great chat again. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, please like and subscribe and follow the Right Place podcast wherever you're listening to this or watching this. And we will see you next time at the Right Place. Thanks, Rudolf.
Thanks, John.